I'm Frank Vaughn. It's May 10th, 2025. It's my 45th birthday. And I wish I had a more positive video to make today, but I don't. I've often indicated in the past several months that one of my greatest fears is that the status quo of Canada would continue. And I also felt that if China and Europe and Canada all came together to oppose Trump and the Trump administration and America First, that we would have a real quick historic time to be living through, and that the suffering might be quite immense in the near term rather than in the medium or the long term. But what's happened, not just since the election, but during the election, in the lead up to the election, has been basically a surrender, a capitulation of Europe, China, and all the principal actors that came out talking so tough. I want to talk about three tweets that I made, and then put a little bit of meat on the bones, and then explain what I think it means for the next period of time that we're about to come into. China's domestic strategy vis-a-vis America's tariffs was essentially elbows up, just with pictures of Mao and tough talk about not kowtowing to imperialists. But they're folding, as in the long run, they lose a trade war, which means Carney's Canada will likely follow. The difference between China and the United States, to a lesser extent Canada, I want to mainly compare America and China. America has these pressure release valves, known as elections, that they do every 2 years. So if the public is dissatisfied, they can constantly feel like they are lodging their dissatisfaction, voting for change, even though if you look around the United States, you can see the clear signs of societal decay everywhere. Trump may be trying to reverse this. Trump is trying to reverse this. But it's a rather large task. But these exercises seek to mollify a public that would otherwise just be building up tension. Now, in China, it's a one-party state. They are very concerned about domestic stability. They don't want their people getting restive. They don't want their people getting angry. And as this, can even call it a trade war when it's on such a short-term time frame. As this thing began to unfold and the rhetoric amped up, layoffs started to take hold and factories started to shut down in China. And the very real prospect of social unrest rears its ugly head. And nothing scares the Communist Party of China like social unrest, domestic social unrest. And so they picked up the phone and they called the United States and said, hey, we want to have a conversation. We want to come to the table. Essentially, their elbows up messaging is disappearing. At the same time as Canada's elbows up rhetoric is disappearing. Oh, look at all those happy balloons. So I also wrote, it's done. Trump's 51st state comments are behind us, says U.S. Ambassador to Canada. An ambassador that Trump appointed. It was a fun thought experiment, that's for sure. And like almost anything, would have been better than the status quo. Western Canada appears to be on its own. And we do appear to be on our own. Because I think you're going to find that the Trump administration is almost miraculously uninterested over the coming year to 2 years in the 51st state idea. I believe that the rhetoric is going to disappear because Trump got exactly what he wanted out of our election. First off, you want to talk about foreign interference. Trump interfered in the Canadian election. He put his finger on the scales. And so did American podcasters. And they torpedoed the Conservative Party of Canada. But we've talked about that enough. What happens if Carney delivers much the same agenda that the Conservatives would have? What if he gets tough on crime? What if he pivots on some of these domestic issues that are important to Canadians? What if he actually turns around and in spite of what he said during the election, he repeals C-69 and he promises pipelines? Yes, there are solutions that are years off down the horizon. They're not solutions to today's problems. Those problems will continue. Carney's promising to add $250 billion to our debt over his first term. The problem of inflation is not going to go away. Maybe they dial back immigration. Maybe they don't. Maybe he builds 500,000 coffin homes. Maybe he doesn't. We do not know what the hell Carney stands for because he contradicts himself so fluidly and so fluently. He may just abandon everything that we've been talking about his book, Values. He may abandon all of those core concepts, net zero, GFANS, all these ideas, because the banking sector is fleeing this concept of net zero because there's no money in it. But in 2021, the carbon con was still very much big money. It was still very much in ascendant. Maybe it was peaking. But if it's peaked and there's no more money, then guys like Carney will leave and they'll find other ways to make money. And one of the ways that you can make money is through the status quo in Canada. We are a wide open country at the service of other nations and their and the interest of their wealthy people, their patrons. The Americans are advantaged by the status quo because they can still keep buying our oil at a discount. They still are advantaged by our trade. If Trump gets what he wants, which is an end to the insidious effort by China to undermine the United States domestically. So in the absence of the option of fighting a kinetic war, China has done a great job of culturally undermining the United States, undermining the family, undermining their cultural greatness, and undermining them through the exportation of precursor ingredients for methamphetamine and fentanyl, which are manufactured and killing tens of thousands of people all across this continent. If he can solve some of these problems in his term, then he'll be able to say that he was successful and he'll be able to pass the torch maybe to the next guy, and they can build on that momentum. I've often said that America does not want a Chinese satellite state on Canada, on their northern border via Canada. Well, perhaps Trump can accomplish that objective without taking over Canada, without getting directly involved in Canada. If he can sit down with China because China's worried that their domestic economy is going to fall apart and their society will fall into decay as domestic unrest rises, if he can sit down and say, I want the fentanyl gone, and here's a bunch of other things that you're doing that I want stopped, and they agree to it to preserve themselves, then his objectives might be satisfied for this term of his presidency. And he can turn his attention to other things. And I think that that is a very realistic potential outcome, which means that the status quo here in Canada is largely entrenched. Now, there is this Western separatist issue. There is a lot of frustration in the West, but it's very possible. You see, when we were going into the election, I had this idea that the world was actually going to come together and fight Trump, but it appears everybody's folding. Canada's a middling power. We're not going to go it alone. If Europe and China were both dedicated to making the necessary sacrifices to undermine the Trump administration and undermine America, Canada would probably be more than happy to go along. But we're going to follow where the world leads, and if the world is leading away from that conflict, Canada will also follow suit. So during the election, thinking that Carney was the conflict candidate because that's what he was saying, all the elbows up and everything that has just disappeared, it's forgotten. It's as forgotten as the madness that went on during COVID. It's as forgotten as so many things that, and so quickly forgotten. There's a very real possibility that Carney's going to sit down with the premiers and he's going to agree a bunch of mollifying policies that the Western governments of Scott Moe and Daniel Smith can then go back to their people and say, we are getting geared up for an era of prosperity. Maybe he backs off on net zero. Maybe he repeals the anti-pipeline bill. Maybe he tweaks the equalization formula so it is not so punitive for the West. Just enough to keep Confederation ticking on and not solve any of the core problems, which is total lack of elected representation in our Senate, no claim to oversight of the judiciary, the Senate, the government, no right of recall, no ability for the citizens to advance ballot initiatives, nothing. Just the same demoralizing vote that you've had every 4 years going back to the start of this project. And that is just, to me, it's a sad state of affairs. I genuinely wonder if the Liberal voter understands that they have delivered potentially the Conservative agenda that they were fighting. That all this elbows up nonsense, that Trump is happy. He got his man in the Prime Minister's office here in Canada. He wanted Carney. He told us that he wanted Carney. And I find this interesting too, because on screen, the whole "it's done" Trump's 51st state comments tweet got a lot of responses, and people are just really upset that I would write something like that. And it's funny that they hang off of every word that falls out of Trump's mouth until it's something that contradicts something Trump formerly said, and then they think it's like 5D chess instead of just being what it is. Trump wanted Carney. He said he wanted Carney. He got Carney. That means he's got the guy in Canada that he can negotiate with. If China's checked and Europe's checked, then Carney's got nothing to do except fold. And he will. And it will serve American interests. And the Liberal voter will find out, as I said before, they'll have buyer's remorse if they have the intellectual capacity to understand what the Liberal government's even doing. Will they even understand that Carney is delivering the very thing that he campaigned against? That all of their fears are manifested in the government that they voted for? Will they even understand that, or will they just keep going on? I tend to think that they will just keep going on, which is why I said Western Canada is on its own. And the last tweet was, Trump's priority is and always has been America and the American people. He doesn't care if Carney ransacks Canada as long as it does not hurt American interests. Liberals swimming victory laps around the Canadian drains vortex. Carney will gut this country. Whether or not people realize that's what he's doing is a whole other story, because as we've said in the lead up to the election and during the election on this channel, I've highlighted over and over and over again how this country has been gutted and sold out since before the 1980s, but it really started accelerating under Trudeau the Elder. How everybody's talking about Canadian identity and the flag, and how the Canadian flag was replaced without a vote of the people, and how the Constitution was rewritten, and how the Charter was imposed, and the people never had a vote. There was no referendum on any of it. It just got shoved down your throat. Ostensibly, the country that you're trying to save has already been replaced. And the sleepy people, the hypnotized mass, they just go along wherever they're led by their noses. It's incredible. And then you see in the wake of these things, you see headlines this like this, and just like that, the Trump threat disappears. Mark Carney's visit to Washington has shown that American aggression was never really a concern to begin with. Maybe it was all just a ruse for the Liberal Party to win another majority, or sorry, another government. Maybe it was just a ruse for Mark Carney and the and maybe there is high levels of coordination between the Canadian government as it is now in the United States. Carney does have business associations with the Kushner family. There's a lot of real estate money from Brookfield. These people are familiar to each other. Canada injects $33 billion into bureaucracy. Your government hasn't sat. Sorry, your parliamentarians, because your parliamentarians are not your government. They appoint the government. So you elect parliament, parliament appoints the government, and the government can govern without parliament being in session, as it has for 9 months. And that's an interesting thing, too. The entire country has kept moving forward, if you can call it that, for 9 months without the government actually sitting. That's how powerful the bureaucracy is. That's how powerful the system is. It doesn't even need your elected representatives to function. It doesn't. We could almost dispense with the entire farce of democracy and nothing would change in Canada. The whole damn thing just seems like it's theater. injects $33 billion into bureaucracy, and the CBC gets another $178 million for the public good, the state broadcaster, so that they can continue propagandizing you. Wall-to-wall coverage for weeks about the great orange demon in the United States, and all it took was one trip by Mark Carney, and the word Trump barely appears on the front page of CBC now. This, it's just one big TV show. It's one big program. And the docile Canadian public just rolls with it. The vast majority of people just roll with it without ever actually asking any questions. It begs the question, what's the point of trying to actually explain things? Does anybody actually care about the details? I guess what remains to be seen is whether Western Canada actually cares about the details. If we care enough to claim our destiny, or if we're going to be satisfied with the crumbs that Carney allows to fall from the table, if we fall for that ruse. This is all remains to be seen, because the pace of things has slowed right down. And that's the other takeaway. Instead of events happening and seeming to happen every single day and the ball rolling and gathering steam, all of a sudden the brakes are checked, the threat is gone, and everybody's talking about timelines that extend out years. Even Daniel Smith, the referendum's not until 26. And the referendum questions aren't until 2026. Negotiations with the United States will take place sometime in the future. Parliament's not even going to be back in session for another 2 weeks. All of a sudden, there's no sense of urgency. All of a sudden, there's no crisis. So to put a bow on this short edition on my birthday, I guess we all just hurry up and wait. We'll find out what Carney's actually going to do when he starts doing it, because there's really no way to read him. Other than Trump is very happy with the outcome of our election, which should get everybody's attention. I do have a Zoom meeting coming up, which I'm going to attend, and then otherwise I'm just going to spend the day with my wife and kids on my 45th birthday. I'm Frank Von Ahl. See you in the next one.